College football nerds here talking Bedlam. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State haven't done a lot of Oklahoma State discussion lately, but they are knocking on the playoff door, so we're going to talk about it and we're going to talk about Oklahoma as well. A little bit of homework before we get discussing with Josh here and get nerdy with y'all. First things first, in the comments, we need your score prediction for this game. But while you're down there, there's a like button, a subscribe button, and a notification bell. And I'm going to wait while you hit those. Okay. And we're going to plug a live show that we do every Saturday night. Josh did it solo this week. It's about an hour long. Generally, we go a couple of hours because I talk a lot, like in this intro. So this Saturday, you can catch us at 10 o'clock. And we will be talking all the things football, 10 o'clock Eastern. And there's games going on, so we're actually talking about stuff that's going on as it happens. Okay, Josh, first things first. Man, we got to talk about this Oklahoma State defense. We've got to. Because there's a lot of discussion nationally about Georgia's defense, and deservedly so. They are legit. They're really, really good. But there are three defenses out there that nobody's talking about that they should be. And I don't know if it's brand name or that they've taken a loss and nobody wants to talk about it, but Wisconsin, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma State are all three amazingly good defenses that nobody wants to give credit for. And people don't understand, like, Texas Tech has a terrible defense, but they score points. They scored 21 on Oklahoma. They scored 30-something against, you know, they gave up 70, I think, to Texas, but scored like 35. I want you to show, like, I want to get into the computer model just to show some of how good this defense is and maybe set the stage for the rest of the discussion. Usually we wait a little bit to get in the model, but why don't you go ahead and get in the model and let's talk a little bit about this Oklahoma State defense and what it looks like against Oklahoma.
So one of the intermediate statistics that we generate with our model is a percentage of opponent averages allowed. And because I know some of you are probably going to be new to our channel, it's a pretty simple statistic, really. We look at how your teams have done, excluding FCS games. We exclude that from all our data generally for a variety of reasons, but it's just not fair. And we say, okay, if your opponent's average is 5 yards per carry and you allowed them 4, you're allowing 80% of their average. And Oklahoma and Oklahoma State's numbers are really interesting. I mean, Oklahoma rush defense, 82% of opponent averages, pass defense, 101%. Those numbers are, you know, good. They're not necessarily fantastic. 80% of opponent rushing averages is something a lot of teams have been able to do in certain years. And what's interesting to me is, like, if you compare them to 2018 Oklahoma, when they're going into the Texas game, they were 99% of opponent rushing averages and 103% of opponent passing averages. So from that perspective, it's about the same pass defense you had in 2018, at least in terms of opponent averages. It's a better run defense, pretty good amount better, but not tremendously better. But Oklahoma State's numbers, man, 58% of opponent rushing averages, 80% of opponent passing averages. And let me give you some comparisons, okay? Right now, everybody is real high on Georgia and Georgia's defense. Georgia is allowing 56% of opponent rushing averages, 71% of opponent passing averages. That's a little bit better against the pass. It's almost the same darn number against the run. Oklahoma State is holding teams just as well as Georgia is from hitting their averages in the run game. And let me back it up. One of the historically best run defenses ever was 2018 Clemson. That was, in my opinion, the best defensive line in the modern era of college football. Okay, they were phenomenal first round draft picks backed up by first round draft picks. All of them were legit. They were 52% of opponent rushing averages, 86% of opponent passing averages. Oklahoma State's defense statistically is in that realm. And so when I think you put all that together, I mean, it's hard for me not to say, you know, Oklahoma State, again, third in the country in FEI defense, only behind Georgia and Wisconsin, really grossly underrated defensive team that absolutely no one seems to be talking about nationally. And to be fair, we haven't talked about a lot. Now, you can blame a lot of that on Oklahoma State's schedule. I'm just being fair. But man, are they good. And from a statistical perspective, just absolutely phenomenal. Maybe you want to chime in on that before I actually get into the scoring predictions and why it comes out the way it does.
Yeah, and one thing you noted that I think is a fair point. Like, Oklahoma State's schedule, frankly, it sucks. We're disappointed that they didn't schedule a Power 5 out of conference this year, or not on their schedule for whatever reason. And those three games were close, like 21-20 over Boise, one-score win over Missouri State. Like, those were not great games, but they weren't giving up points, right? And to your point, like, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, Georgia plays in the SEC, and they've got better defensive numbers, and Oklahoma State is playing in a weak league this year, because the Big 12, I do think, is down. Like, Oklahoma has made it, you know, into Week 12 with only one currently ranked opponent, right? But what people don't understand, because we don't care about total yards, we're not a total yards channel, we are how you do against your opponent averages and yards per play yards channel. People don't understand that, okay, in Oklahoma State's case, let's say for argument's sake they're playing far worse competition than Georgia, and everybody Georgia's playing has these great running and passing offenses, which really isn't the case this year, but let's say that for argument's sake. That's even more impressive for Oklahoma State's defense, because as you approach zero, it's a lot harder to hold an opponent to half of zero. Think about it. Like, if somebody runs for 8 yards an attempt and you hold them to four, they're still having a pretty good game. But if somebody runs for only 2 yards an attempt, that's falling down. You got to hold them to half of falling down. Like, it gets harder as you get to zero. So as opponents are bad or worse at running the ball or passing the ball, holding them to a worse number in that percentage box in the advanced box score there on the model is even harder. So in that regard, there's an argument to be made that Oklahoma State's doing better than Georgia's defense. So yeah, why don't you round out the model and see what it says in terms of scores, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and it's really the balance of the various defenses and the balances of the various offenses that puts Oklahoma State ahead. I mean, Oklahoma, 5 yard per carry, 8.5, 0.6 yards per attempt, is a better offense than Oklahoma State's 4.4, 7.4. Now, again, those numbers are not crazy, and I have the advantage of having 2018 Oklahoma in front of me because I pulled up those stats. Oklahoma was averaging 7 yards per carry and 11.6 yards per attempt going into the championship game in 2018. So these numbers are way off those, and I don't think that surprises everyone, but I mean, man, in the passing game, it's like 50% different. And I think the thing a lot of times people miss, though, is college football is about stall points and breaking points. So when you factor in that Oklahoma State is just so much better on run defense than anyone Oklahoma's played, and yeah, Baylor's really in that category, it changes the dynamics of Oklahoma's offense tremendously. You're below 3 yards per carry predicted. You're below 7 yards per attempt. That's what I would call a stall point. Under 3 yards per carry is not enough to keep yourself in good down and distance. Okay. You're not, like, if you run the ball twice, you're still at third and medium on a consistent basis. And if you're averaging under 7 yards per attempt, you know, if you've got a third and long, there's a pretty good darn good shot you're not going to convert it. And, you know, you complete a pass a lot of times, complete a pass and run the ball successfully, and you may still be third and, you know, like third and three. So that's the realm Oklahoma ends up in. And it's not just like 50% different. I mean, you can say 6.9 versus the 10.7 they had in 2018. It really doesn't do justice to mechanically, in a game where it's about getting 10 yards at a time, how different it is when you've lost that 3 or 4 extra yards every play, how much harder it is to get first downs, how many times on third down you get 8 yards when you need 9 and you end up punting. And that really puts a limiter on Oklahoma's offense. And Oklahoma State's numbers aren't great here either. Okay, I mean, 3.6 yards per carry means they're not really predicted to run the ball very well at all. About 7.5 yards per attempt is competent. And it's really that number. I mean, this is predicted to be a game where neither team is going to be pretty. The only thing either team is predicted to be able to do in a competent regard is Oklahoma State is expected to be baseline competent throwing the football. And if they can get that out of a quarterback and Spencer Sanders, I mean, let's be honest, he's been very inconsistent his whole career. He's a 7.5 yard per attempt guy this year. If he can be his normal 60% passing, 7.5 yard per attempt guy, then it thinks, yeah, you leak out about 28 points. And it thinks Oklahoma basically is just going to scrape by and find 21. But, you know, it's pretty simple, really. Oklahoma, in our model, is viewed based off the entire season. They have struggled running the ball. They've thrown it fairly well at times, but not great. And that is hard to put up 21. But I'll be honest, man, I look at 28-21, and I start to wonder, though, the fact that this considers the whole year, you think it's a beneficial thing that it's not giving a ton of weight to the Caleb Williams starts, or at least that's what I think a lot of people are going to respond with. Man, I'm not so sure, because Caleb Williams, last two games, Oklahoma's thrown for, what, 7.4, 5.1 yards per attempt on a team. Caleb Williams himself, 7.9 yards per attempt, 4.8 yards per attempt against Iowa State. He's not been great passing lately against the better teams they've played. His advantage is in the run game. And when you're playing a team that is that phenomenal in run defense, I'm not sure Caleb Williams is actually an advantage. This is one particular, like a particular matchup where Caleb Williams is probably not the guy that you want to have at quarterback from a stylistic perspective.
And I'm going to get into some positives for Oklahoma, because they're probably sick of hearing about how good Oklahoma State's defense is and all this stuff. But I do think it's worth noting, this is why we weren't on the Caleb Williams Heisman train after six quarters. Because what we've noticed in the past is when you bring in a reliever quarterback off the bench in game three, in game five, or whatever, because the starter isn't performing, they tend to do really well in that first game. And then people get tape on him. And then things change because they get tendencies. And we saw this with Anthony Richardson at Florida. We saw this with Jalen Hurts his entire first season at Alabama. Like, he came in cold, put up 50-something points on USC. And then by the end of the year, in November, he put up 10, seven of which were on a scramble against LSU. So I think that there is something to that, where teams get taped, they see tendencies. It's the same thing in, like, baseball. Like, pitchers come in and they dominate the league until people get some tape on them. So I feel like some of that is at play, but I also feel like he does bring a level of dynamic play that can, like you said, the model's saying they're going to scrape by 21 points. I kind of think, Josh, that that might be their floor. And I know they had 14 against Baylor a couple of weeks ago, but they had production that was beyond a 14-point production. The question is, Josh, because I think that Oklahoma's offense is better, in my mind. It's better than Oklahoma State's offense. But looking at common opponents, like, there are two that are in Oklahoma's favor off the top of my head, and that's Texas and Texas Tech, where they scored, like, I think in the 50s, and TCU scored 20, or Oklahoma State 23 and 30, something like that. But the rest, if you look at it, Oklahoma State's got a better offense. But just kind of anecdotally, does it feel to you like Oklahoma State has the better offense? Whether or not that's enough to win, does it feel to you like they have the better offense?
Anecdotally, to me, it kind of does. I mean, Oklahoma is built around really running the football. And then if they can run the football, it opens them up to do the things they want to do. Lincoln Riley was a serious innovator. And we've talked about this at length in a lot of different perspectives. At going away from the simple RPO read, like, quick slant kind of concepts, and starting to say, okay, you know, if we're only doing RPO and we're just doing this passive zone blocking, we don't have power. And what you need to do is find a way to marry RPO concepts in an actual power scheme where you're actually able to pull linemen. And they do a lot of stuff that's really clever in terms of having power runs. And especially the thing with power runs is you can pull a guy and not move him down the line, you know, not move him past the line of scrimmage, where they can show a run pass option look and then hit you with an actual, like, power play, or, you know, like a counter tray or something. And that's been a really effective thing for Oklahoma. I think the problem is really twofold. One, those concepts have been adopted nationally now. A lot of teams and everybody in the playoff last year, including the team that won it, were all doing that. And defensive coordinators have learned how to deal with it a little bit because it's become so much more common. And two, Oklahoma just doesn't have the same run game they had then. That was a serious threat. Like, the Kyler Murray year, Man, we were adamant, right? There was a point when they were over 7 yards per attempt. 7 yards per carry. And so if you're running for over 7 yards per carry and teams were having to basically completely distort their defense because they had to deal with Oklahoma's run game and they had to deal with the fact that Kyler Murray was a threat with his legs, and that left them with one-on-ones all the way around the field. And in the RPO, if you get leave guys man coverage one-on-one, it's real easy for somebody to bite and have a guy wide open over the top. This year's Oklahoma team doesn't get great push in the run game. And I think, you know, Caleb Williams gives you a running component, which is let them put up points in certain games where they get those deep shots. Like the Texas game in particular had some guys who were really wide open deep. But if he can't run well enough, and if that line doesn't hold up to where you're getting those power run, I don't think the downfield RPO shots materialize. And that's where I think Oklahoma State, as much as they are an up-tempo, modern RPO team, I just think they're a little bit more balanced. Like, watching them play, I think they're a little more capable of, I'll say, creating or organically getting their offense. I don't think if you shut down Oklahoma State's run game, they're necessarily quite as susceptible maybe to falling apart on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, the Boise State game was 21-20, and they rushed for 246 yards. So obviously rushing like crazy isn't a huge indicator that they're going to go bananas. And then, you know, in like some other games, West Virginia, they only had 100 yards rushing and they win 24-3. It just feels like they can get points in a lot of different ways. And to me, that balance is probably a little bit more valuable than Oklahoma, where I really do feel like they're pretty predicated on the run. And man, I got to say right now, Oklahoma fans probably hate me because of the way this conversation is gone. But I mean, look, their defense is good and they're disruptive and they're going to get disruption. I think Bonito and a lot of those guys are good at keeping you off schedule, but it's just not the same as what Oklahoma State brings. And as much as they're dynamic with what Williams brings, and I think Mims is a phenomenal receiver that can get them some points, it just feels a lot more janky and disjointed. And that's a problem when you play a high-level defense, because that tends to create a lot of negative plays and makes it difficult to move the stick.
I'm ready to give my score on this one. I think that if you look at a lot of these games for Oklahoma State, I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, they've given up more than 20 one time this year, and it was 24 to Texas. And I don't think there's any shame in giving up 24 to Texas. Texas' problem really this year is defense, right? But I also think, like, sorry, two times, 24 to Iowa State. They haven't given up more than 24 this year. I also think that, like, Texas Tech, you scored 23 points and you won by 23 points. Like, yes, that's a great defensive performance, but they're not scoring enough to eliminate the bugaboo of variability. Because if you're scoring in the low 20s, if you have a game in the low 20s, one play here or there can mean the end of it, right? Like the reason, like that Alabama-Arkansas game Saturday was a one-score game, right? But Alabama had a two-touchdown lead towards the end of the game. It was one of those where, you know, Alabama-Oklahoma 2018, where they get up enough and they score enough that they can yield some points and variability doesn't really kill them that much. In a 20 to 24 kind of game, variability comes into play, which to me tells me that, like, I'm picking Oklahoma State here because it's a home game. It's I do think they're playing better right now than Oklahoma. And the thing you said about Oklahoma's offense being janky, I agree with that. Like, it's a tough word to say, but it feels like they have to do a lot to manufacture points. But I do think that there's a floor on Oklahoma's point total, and it's around 20. So I'm going to go Oklahoma State 24, Oklahoma 20, and I would not be surprised at all if Oklahoma won this game. I will say, Josh, that I honestly feel like Spencer Rattler, if he was the starter, I think he's much more suited to win this game given the matchup than Williams. Tell me what you think about that and give me your score prediction.
I tend to agree with it. I mean, I think they were quite justified in pulling Rattler. I was a Rattler apologist to start the year, which is kind of funny in that I've been so hostile to Oklahoma in this game. But it really comes down to the fact that I think there's a lot of things around him that haven't been as functional as Oklahoma fans maybe necessarily want to admit. And look, I've got this game, and I'll say 24-17. I'm with you. When these scores are this low, anyone can win, because you're basically saying at this point a punt return touchdown, punt block touchdown is a third of your scoring. You know, one busted coverage can be a third of the scoring in the game. So it's variability is a really high percentage of the production, or meaningful production, put it that way. But I think it really comes down to the fact that Caleb Williams running the ball, even if, well, look, I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback. I think he can be a considerably better quarterback than Rattler on average and be a lot less likely to win you this game because you're playing a team that can shut down the run. And the example I give with that would be, let's say, Jalen Hurts in the 2016 national title. Jalen Hurts had been a good quarterback for Alabama. He was really high in ESPN's QBR metric, like really, really high, like top five, top 10, because of the advantage he gave them running the ball. And he was a serviceable passer, not great, but serviceable. But when they got to the really high level defenses, he stalled repeatedly. And when they got in the national title game, man, they couldn't get a first down with him. And I think that's kind of the problem Oklahoma has. Like, I think Caleb Williams is absolutely a guy on the rise. I think he's absolutely the future of the program. He's in the same freshman year situation that Hurts is, going against a team that can defend the run very, very well. And I don't know that he has the tools in his toolbox to be able to deal with, when you're playing a defense that's got a lot of tape on him now, knows what his packages are, and they're going to make him do things that he's not comfortable with. And I just don't think he's ready to deal with that. Rattler, for all his inconsistencies, has more tools, even if he doesn't use them in a consistently well basis. At least they exist. And I think to some degree he would be maybe better equipped to win this game, even if he loses you someone early in the year. But to me, that's why I have Oklahoma State 24-17. And let me check Odd Shark real quick. I'll say, where are we at with odds? Looks like, Oklahoma State's 3.5. Not shocking. And then the over-under is 51. It's exactly what we're saying, a really low-scoring game you're predicting. I think I'm almost more comfortable with the under, even at 51, than I am maybe picking either one. But I definitely think this is a pretty difficult to pick game in a low scoring game. Nothing would surprise me. And it's, man, it's a brutal set of matchups. And I think this is going to be a very, very tough win for whoever wins it.
And Oklahoma fans are probably going to be frustrated with us in this conversation because, look, they got a clean record, right? And they're 10-1. We are big on a win is not a win is not a win. Like, we look at how you play in a game. And in that regard, like, you know, Tulane, maybe not Nebraska, but Tulane, Kansas State, Texas, Kansas, these games concern us, if we're being honest, in terms of judging Oklahoma to an Oklahoma standard. But they still have 10 wins, and they still have Lincoln Riley, and they still have a lot of talent on that offense. So even though they haven't put it together this year, nothing surprises me. In terms of pure roster, teams that could beat Georgia are Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. And that's it. Now, Oklahoma's roster hasn't put it together, like Alabama's defense hasn't put it together this year. But they could. They could do it Saturday. And again, Oklahoma State has this elite defense, but right now, offense wins the day. And if, anecdotally, Oklahoma's offense is better, which it may not be because of what we've seen in pure numbers, if they're better, them winning this game would not surprise me at all. And we're not Oklahoma haters. We just judge Oklahoma to a national championship standard. And Oklahoma fans don't love that from us. But the proof is in the pudding. Show me that you are who you were in 2017. And we will credit you for it. But if you're not, we're going to tell you. And I hate that that has maybe caused a little bit of a rift with a lot of Oklahoma fans and us. But that's how we are. If you want to be judged as a nice team, nice season, 15th best team in the country, sure. You know, there's other channels that'll do that. But if you want us to judge you who you want to be as a fan, as a program, and that's a championship team, that's what you're going to get from us. So, Josh, give me a parting shot on this game, and we'll wrap it up.
My one parting shot, and I'll try to take away some of the negativity. Oklahoma does have one serious thing going for them, and that is they do have Mims, they've got Kennedy Brooks, and they've got the ability to score kind of at any time from anywhere on the field. And that sounds a little bit trite, maybe, to certain people, but look, I'm telling you, it's important when you've got guys that are dudes in a game like this that can get you a score through a single individual effort. And I'm not saying Oklahoma State doesn't have good players. Yes, they've got good players. I don't know that, like, Mims makes some plays out of nothing, and he does it at a pretty good basis. And if they can get just like one Hail Mary touchdown shot that he manages to jump over a guy and to pull down, that can be enough to win Oklahoma the game. And honestly, when I look at the matchups, that's the thing that is keeping them in it in my mind currently, and it's the thing that will win them the game. I don't think Oklahoma's going to look pretty. That's my prediction. But that doesn't mean they can't win. And so my parting shot here is it's really just about whether or not Oklahoma State can prevent those sort of one-off high variability scoring plays. And, you know, otherwise, if it goes the way I expect, it feels like it's going to be kind of a slow death in Oklahoma State's favor.
All right, y'all, that's it for us on Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Let us know in the comments what you think this score is going to be. And if you are an Oklahoma fan and you want to throw some shade our way, just back it up with data. And if you take umbrage at what we say, that's totally okay. People disagree with us all the time. We're not right all the time, that's for sure. Just back it up with data. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week, and God bless.